if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wallace Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. Betty Rock is out. She'll be out all this week. Gavin was out Friday, so we never got to hear about his weekend plans. The story with your brother-in-law chirping at the neighbor who didn't want you to park in front of their house, even though it's fair game, that's so funny to me. Because, I mean, he lives there, so he's like, yeah, I'll mix it up with anybody. And yeah, you were like, I don't want to.
With my car.
I know. I don't want to do this.
Because he went out. He grabbed my keys. He's like, here, let me go find a good parking spot for it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then the whole drama went down, and he was willing to die on the hill.
I'm proud of him.
That is my car. And so in my head, I'm just like, I really don't want that. I don't need that. I would park further down just to solve the problem.
Sure.
Which, I mean, but at the end of the day, I'm still on his side. Like, I still think those people were really petty and just it was unnecessary how bad things got, and he vented about it the whole rest of the day. I was able to be happy, but then yeah, the trash on the car yesterday morning was just,
that was next level
disgusting.
Like, yeah, again, that, like, that crap sent paws. You a message.
It did, and
that's funny. People are so petty.
Yeah, and like, yeah, my gut reaction is to do something about it.
Right.
I even came back in. They're like, did you take pictures? That could be considered property. Blah blah blah. I'm like, no. Like, I'm not gonna. I just want to go home.
Yeah. I think I probably would have, like, if I'm leaving too, like, all right, I'm just going to leave here. I'll be nice. I'll put the trash, the bags on the sidewalk and move on. But there's part of me that would want to open them up and just drag it all over the lawn and just like, yeah. But that just escalates everything.
It would. And I'm like,
but then you're leaving. So.
Yeah, exactly. So what are they going to do about it? I'm always curious in those situations. I have this like gut reaction where I will potentially, as soon as I saw the bags on there and I picked them up, I looked at the house and I looked to see if there was like a camera
or
Ring doorbell. Because I was like, if I did choose the wrong path here,
right,
would they see it?
Right. Chuck it up on the porch. If nothing else, I mean, I probably would have returned it to their porch.
Oh, there you go.
So it was easier for them to take out and put in the proper place.
And then they would have gotten mad at my brother-in-law and not me.
I don't like drama in a neighborhood and stuff. Like, I've asked my neighbors, you know, from time to time, hey, can you not park in front of my mailbox? I live in a cul-de-sac, and there's only one place, because of how the driveways are all lined up, there's really only one place in the cul-de-sac if you need an extra parking space to park, and it's right in front of my house. And so everyone uses it as their spot when they have friends come over, whatever, somebody parks there. But if they park in front or too close to my mailbox, I have the worst mail person in the world. They won't deliver my mail.
Oh.
Like, they will not, like, even remotely get close. I remember when mail people used to walk. Like, they'd park at the beginning of the neighborhood, and they'd walk the entire route. Mine won't even lean out the window to put my mail in. It's so maddening.
Have you seen this person? Like, do you know what this person looks like?
I used to have a really cool one who I did know.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked the guy. He was awesome. We'd talk and converse. He was great. And then he left, and I'm stuck with this guy. And he's just like, I've never been able to talk to him. He's always gone.
A good mail person is an underrated person to have in your life.
Oh, absolutely. Like, what if I was waiting on an organ?
You know? Something like, super.
Yeah, like, I need a heart transplant. They're delivering it to my house today.
It's DIY.
And I need this, so I'm not going to get it because there's a car parked there? Pretty lazy, sir. Pretty lazy.
Well,
so, I don't know. I spent the weekend not ranting, surprisingly enough. We went mountain biking. Well, not mountain biking, gravel riding. So it's basically on like dirt roads so my wife could go.
Is it still like downhill?
Oh, yeah. There's hills and climbs and hills and stuff like that. One hill, and it's all dirt and gravel. So it can be sketchy, slippery. You got to be careful. But I was doing 35 miles an hour down this one hill.
Nice.
I was just bombing down. It was so
Love
much
it.
Fun. But I decided to, because my buddy and I were in front and we were riding. And we're kind of climbing up this hill, and so I've got an e-bike, so it helps me pedal because it's electric. It's great. And so as we're talking, he's pedaling, but my bike keeps kind of wanting to go faster ahead of him, but I want to have the conversation. So I turned the motor off, in essence, the electric off.
Manually.
And I pedaled manually with him while we climbed up this hill so we could keep talking. And then I'm like, and my bike's heavy. My bike's like 57 pounds. And a normal bike is 20, if that. And so I'm like, all right, well, let me see how long I can go without the motor, helping me. And so I did almost 3 miles pedaling this 57 pound bike, and it was hard, like uphills and things like that. Cause everyone makes fun of me for having an e-bike, but I'm like, all right, well, I want to see how I can do it. And so my lung capacity and everything has gotten better because I couldn't have done that before. But then we were coming up and there's this one steep hill and I got about a quarter of the way up it and this bike is like pedaling a tank up there and I'm like, all right, forget it! And I just, because they left me. I was so far behind.
Oh.
And so I just hit turbo just whoosh, sailed up the thing.
Bye, guys.
I know, and I was done.
Good for you.
I finished first.
You should never feel, I would never shame you for the electric bike thing. I wish I had one.
I know. I used to feel guilty about it, but now I'm like, eh. He has the money. He can buy one.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't complain about it. let me see. Willard Scott. Well, we'll get to that in least of these. Oh, no, we'll do it now.
Right.
Sadly, Willard Scott, he was the famous Today Show weatherman. He passed away at 87 years old.
Oh, wow.
I actually thought he was older than that. He started on Today in 1980 and stepped aside in 96, but continued to kind of show up here and there until he retired in 2015. But here's the thing, like, I didn't know, but I do not know much about this man's life or anything like that. But the one thing that came out that I had no idea, he was the first person to create and portray Ronald McDonald.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a big thing.
You just think that Ronald has been synonymous with McDonald's since it started in, what, 50? The 1950-something?
Really long time
but
ago.
But apparently that was like a later thing that happened. And so, yeah, he was, I guess he created it and portrayed Ronald McDonald first, which is kind of, that's a weird legacy.
So interesting. Because I think we saw like a bit about McDonald's earlier on the news today. And I just like remarking in my head how, personally, I think Ronald looks like so creepy.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the days when you'd go to McDonald's and there was that like bench at the front of the store and you'd have the plastic guy up there in his arms around. And I was like, that guy's going to come alive one day. It's horrifying.
Yeah, clowns are weird.
Yeah.
And that's, you know how like I was at Lowe's the other day and they had a creepy clown section for Halloween.
That's
like,
awesome.
Oh, I just hate it so much.
At Lowe's?
At Lowe's. And so they had the, whatchamacallit, the clown from It.
Oh, no.
And he's all creepy, janky looking. But you could put Ronald right next to him.
You really could.
And it would be just as creepy to me.
I didn't realize how long it's been since we've associated McDonald's with that image. Because nowadays, it's just the golden arches.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I grew up with those characters, the purple guy, the criminal, the
Hamburglar.
Yeah. Like I grew up with those. I remember going to my grandparents' house and he had like action figures of these people. And just it's probably been more than a decade since they've used them, those images.
Yeah, you don't see Ronald at all in any of their modern marketing, but there you go. So that was kind of a weird thing. This sounds like an episode of Mission Impossible, actually. But it's not. It's about the movie Top Gun.
Yes.
But both things involve Tom Cruise. So he does Mission Impossible. He does Top Gun. Top Gun got postponed yet again.
So lame.
I know. I really want to see this. By the time they release this thing, they're going to have to redo it because they probably have new jets by then. You know, like, oh, yeah, we're flying these new things now because it keeps getting pushed back. But apparently there was a copy of the Top Gun movie because they've already shot it, and they're waiting to release it. But it was in a car that was stolen from Tom Cruise last month. So he had a copy of it, and the car gets stolen, and so they recovered the car. But they say it could have been copied.
Oh,
and
man, so, it might be out there.
Yeah, or the burglar didn't know what they had, and they could have pirated it. Because if you're already stealing cars, crime is not a thing for you.
True.
You're not, all of a sudden you're not going to draw a line at, I can't do this. I don't want to hurt Tom Cruise and his money.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, so that is kind of a bummer, actually.
How many people in the world are going to be that desperate to see Top Gun?
Right.
Because let's just go through this. It might be sad, but there are people out there who they might be closer to the end of their life, and they've been waiting.
You want to see it before you die.
This many years to see Top Gun 2.
I believe
you found it on the internet, which is never the right way to
watch it.
Yeah, it's not the right way to go about it, but
I'd watch it with one eye. So I didn't feel like I was totally stealing. I'm like, I didn't see the whole thing.
All of it.
I watch it with one eye. So that counts, right? I have seen, they always talk about movies. Like when they do the trailer at the beginning of movies, they're like, and don't videotape the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, who does that? But then I've seen pirated movies of people where they sit there with a sketchy phone just videotaping the movie. Like, who buys that?
That's very weird to
me. Yeah, I get, okay, that's great, you're gonna steal this, but who sits there and goes, I'm gonna buy this movie? I don't even care if you can get it before it comes out and no one else has it. So you say you did this with Top Gun, you have this weird cell phone video that's grainy, the audio's bad, and you invite your friends over, we're gonna watch Top Gun, this would be so great.
Is that how you really want to experience it?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I guess it's just a different piracy world that I'm not used to. I need to spend more time on the dark web, apparently.
I remember the trailer that they would always play at the beginning of DVDs, where it's just this kind of weird stop motion, slow motion.
Yeah.
It's wrong to pirate movies.
You can, when they want to, they enforce that stuff. My friend who I worked with in Atlanta had to pay $30,000 out of his own pocket.
Wow.
Okay, so here's the...
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, here's the story. So he and I went to a radio station. He was already there, and they hired me to come in and rebuild the morning show, and they were getting rid of one of the guys on the morning show. And so they get rid of this guy. And so then he and I are there, and this guy and my friend never got along. And this guy was in a movie it was a really low budget, horrible film shot in Atlanta. And my friend used to make fun of him for it all the time. And because the guy was really arrogant, and his license plate was, you know me, come on, dude, really? And so he's just a radio guy. And so he has this one bad film that he's in, and I had seen the film and it was horrible. And so we decided to do a viewing party one night. So we do a viewing party, and the whole thing was just to totally make fun of this movie, okay? So we do this video. It's kind of like Mystery Science Theater, and so everyone's just taking shots at it. So the guy finds out about it, and then because I guess people had to pay to get in, you were making money off of it without permission, and he sued my friend.
Aww.
And my friend had to spend $30,000 to fight it, and then
Ouch.
Had to pay a little bit for copyright infringement.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just insane that these guys did not like each other that much.
Yeah,
and it ended up costing him this money, and he was furious. Obviously,
that's another world to be playing in than the. You put trash on the back of my car.
Yes,
it's a different world.
Yeah, that's a higher tax bracket.
Pettiness in that bracket is a lot more expensive.
Yeah, it cost him a bunch of money on that one. That was one I was glad I didn't get named in the suit because the guy didn't. Because they brought me in from outside. The guy didn't know me, so I'm like, oh, good.
That's funny.
I dodged a bullet on that one, so it was pretty good. All right, what do you got for birthdays?
Okay,
and are you ready?
Yes, I am. I have it open right here.
Okay, tell me, why do you have it open right there?
Because it's my job. But no, because last night...
Because your dad is awesome.
Like earlier this morning or last night, I forget when, but he sends a text. He's like, hey, I saw that Betty was going to be out this week. Just want you to be prepared. Make sure you have the birthday document open.
Your dad is the best.
Oh, it's you're so good.
Because how old are you, 25?
Yep.
And I'm still going to be involved in my daughter's life the same level as your dad is when she's 25 as well.
It's only a couple years away.
I know. I will always be involved in her life. But I love that your dad will critique things that you do on the aftercast and give you some guidance, because that's what dads do.
It's what I need.
Yeah, and he's a good man, you know? And so, I love that. But this has been my favorite so far. It's like him telling you to make sure you do your job right. That's so great.
Yeah.
Because, dad's like, you know what? They could fire you for this. Wally, he's not stable. This could be the thing, you know? You don't want that. Don't give him that ammunition.
I think that you're right, though. I think at the heart of it, there is not that you would fire me or that you're unstable, but that it is reflecting on being a good employee,
right?
That you're ultimately prepared. Yeah. And I want that very much personally. I want to achieve that on my own, but I love that my dad and my parents want that as well.
Well, I give my daughter work advice, because it's the thing that she has less time in than I do. And so it's kind of she's in a situation at work, I'm like, look, here's what you do. You go in, you say this, and you ask them this, or you do this, and I think that's going to help you navigate this situation better, and you're going to come out better on the other side of it, you know? And I think he's just looking out for you.
Yeah, I don't want to ever come across as I've got this together. I've got it all together. You're right. I'm 25. I've literally been working as an adult for 2 years now. I'm probably 2% of the way there in terms of everything that I know.
Well, and the other thing is too, how old is your dad?
Younger than you.
Is he really?
Yeah, 1970.
What in the world? So he's 2 years younger than me.
So he's 51. 51.
Your dad is younger than me. That's crazy. Oh, my goodness. Wow, you could be my kid. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? But see, the thing is, your dad has the same frame of reference to everything that I have. And so my generation, your dad's generation, did things differently than your generation does. And so with my daughter, for example, I'm like, okay, well, here's what you do. You follow up, do a handwritten note or follow up. And she thinks she's being so intrusive. I'm like, you're not intrusive at all. They want to see that you give a rip about this job. And the people that will follow up and stay with them are the ones that are going to rise to the top. And when they are ready to make that call and do those interviews, you're going to be called, because you've stayed in it and you've kept your name in there. And it's just foreign to her.
I was learning that as I was applying to all these jobs a couple years ago. And I remember, because I got married before I got this job. I got married after some of the initial interviews for this position. And then I was hired after that. But my parents said, why don't you send a picture of you and your wife from Florida saying this is it will instill in them that you're a guy who is a family man. You just got married. It just points more towards your personality, and it shows that you're still interested on a professional and personal level.
And I will tell you this from the other side, the side you didn't see, is we got that, and I'm like, this dude's at Harry Potter, and I'm like, what? And he's so excited about being at Harry Potter. I'm like, okay, that's interesting to me that he's this young guy and he's just doing his thing, and you being married and things like that. I'm like, okay, there's dynamics there and levels there, and that brought you back in, because we had all these interviews and we thought we were going to go with someone closer, the move wasn't going to be as bad, and things like that. And it just, it was weird. But then when you meet people face to face, it changes that. And we had one guy that we met, and he was a front runner, and we thought it was going to work out, and then it didn't, because he didn't click with us. And we kind of went back to the drawing board. And we're like, okay, well, let's go back and see if there's, because we're interviewing all these people. I'm like, let's see if there's something we missed in somebody, because it's real easy to miss somebody when you get this much of a glimpse of them. And your picture of that picture came back up. And I remember going, all right, I want to talk to this kid again. That's just funny to me,
That's cool.
And so, it came back around for you. So your dad was right.
Oh, yeah.
Flash forward, your dad is always right.
Always right.
And there you go.
Now, back to the thing that he told me to have ready.
Ready?
Birthdays.
There are none.
No, there is one.
Oh, okay, what is
it? So I can do my job. So this is Aaron saying happy birthday to his daughter, Savannah, who's turning 4 years old. She gave her, so her name is Savannah. she gave herself the nickname Mina when she was first learning to talk.
Okay.
They don't know where it came from. She's in preschool right now and says that she wants to be a kitty when she grows up. Nice. And maybe Betty can name her because Betty's great at
naming
kittens.
Kids are the best. Like, just the things they come up with in their minds. Yeah. I loved working with... at Radio Disney. I liked working at church with younger kids.
Oh, sure.
Because I just liked the mind of them. Like, junior hires were hard for me to deal with, and some high school. I didn't mind my older high school class that I taught. Like, that was better. Junior high was hard for me. They're pushing their boundaries. They'll get a little mouthy with you, and I have zero tolerance for that.
That's the age group that I'm, like, mostly leading. Church, whenever I'm like in the whenever it's my weekend to do like the lesson or something, I love doing it. I'm volunteering to do it. It's like I choose to, but at the same time, I'll sit there and I'll be like, what do you guys think? Mm. And the stuff that they throw at me, it's just like, hey, your problems get way less significant when you get older.
Yeah.
But not to undermine what you're going through.
The hard part as a parent. You have to remember that when... you feel something, you have to remember that when you felt something as a kid, it was magnified by about 1,000.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like, everything felt like the end of the world. And like, as an adult, you have a different perspective. And so I've always tried to keep that with my daughter. But even now, like, she'll come home from work and she's just like exhausted and frustrated and things like that. And the things that she's complaining about, like that's just life, you know? Yeah. And like, and so I have to summon up compassion because I've had more years working and a lot more worse things. And so I have to summon up compassion and then give her wisdom, you know, kind of thing.
I can remember this situation when I had gotten broken up with in high school and like such a baby about it. And I think I was just like sad about it for like a couple weeks. And at one point I was still in it, like too far into the breakup, and I was still in it. And I was in the car with my mom. And she had said something about, like, oh, like, I went through this, and oh, this and that. And in my head, what came out of my mouth was the wrong thing, which was, Mom, you, like, definitely don't understand. You're old. Like, you don't know what I'm going through.
Oh, no.
And she's like, I have dealt, you know, she got, like, really real with me where she was just like, too. I've dealt with, like, body image issues, like, my whole life. And I went through all of this in high school. And you think that I had a good time trying to date in high school. And it's just like, oh, yeah. Your parents have been there twice over when it comes to... certain things. So
I've had real honest conversations with Haley like that too, went we're not doing this, and laid it down. But then I sometimes too, like, I have to realize that she, and then also too, like with Betty and stuff too, like they're very similar people and they process things differently. And so with my daughter, she came home from work the other day and she was exhausted. She had a long day, but she had something really good happen to her, and I wanted to hear about the good. She got to record for this Dead Sea Squirrels thing that the
she did.
Yeah. They brought her in for another part. They had like her do a couple different like small parts, but like it was a good thing.
Nice.
And I was really interested in how the process was, and did you enjoy it? And she was just being so non-commental about it. And it was angering me because I'm like invested in you. I'm like, I want to hear the good. And I walked out of the room. I'm like, okay. And I just walked out because I don't deal with that well. I don't deal with dismissiveness well. I don't deal with when I'm trying to engage in your life and be excited and you're just ho-hum about it. I'm like, well, then if you don't want to talk about it, then I don't. And so I'll get mad. So I walked out.
Because you're her biggest fan, too.
Absolutely.
You're her biggest fan. You're her biggest advocate.
Yes.
So.
And I will help fund her life until she gets going.
There is a lot of...
Yeah.
Like, you have a complete right, and you deserve to hear things.
Yeah, tell me. You know, you're living in my house for free. Tell me. It's a really small price to pay.
Especially if it's a good thing, too.
Yes.
I definitely can understand, like, the dismissive of not wanting to chat out the bad things.
Right.
Some people like are so much, it's so much easier for people to, and I'm not like saying this about Haley, but like it's so much easier, I think, for some people to get their lives wrapped up in the complaining and not the celebrations.
Right. So I'm in the other room and I hear her and her mom talking and conversing like a lot about stuff, about just everything. And so I come back in. And she's like a totally different person at this point. And I'm like, all right, well, what happened? How was the day? Oh, it was a blah, blah. And then she goes, I'm learning when she gets home from work, she's kind of an introvert. And so she's got to be an extrovert.
Okay.
And she's just whipped. She doesn't want to talk. And so like Betty's the same way. There's times like I have to just let Betty be alone and let her be her. And then I can talk to her about whatever it is that we need to talk about. And it's the same way with Haley. I have to learn, all right, you don't process like I process, so let me let you be you, and then I know you're not being rude, you're just wired differently,
sure.
And then we'll connect over this and we can talk about it. Because then it was great, you know, and it was normal, but I had to fight everything in me to not say something mean because it was driving me nuts.
That's funny.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the fun stuff you have to look forward to with kids.
Yeah, very long time from now.
Yeah, but for sure.
Still excited.
Well, you know what? That is going to do it for this Aftercast, and we'll do this again tomorrow. And as always, thanks for being a potty.